Welcome to A Meaningful Mess, a podcast for educators who want to engage and empower gifted learners. Whether you specifically serve gifted learners, have gifted learners in your classroom, or just want to know more about what gifted learners need from the school experience, you are in the right place. I'm Andy McNair, and I'm a keynote speaker, author, educator, and mom of my own gifted kiddos. And I know that teaching gifted learners can be challenging. But you know what? It's also incredibly rewarding. Throughout this podcast, I'll share practical ideas and strategies that will help you create a meaningful and engaging learning experience for your gifted students. I'll also talk about Genius Hour, a powerful approach to learning that can help learners explore their passion and purpose as they develop their talents. So if you're looking for ways to reach your gifted learners, I invite you to join me on this journey. Thanks for listening. I'm so glad that you're here. Welcome back to A Meaningful Mess podcast. I'm so excited that you're here. Today is episode 77, and I am super stoked because if you've ever heard me share or talk before, you have probably heard me talk about one of my best friends, colleague, and also my thought partner, Carrie Espen. Thought partnership is really important to me in the work that I do in working with teachers and really every aspect of the work. And we've recently talked about thought partnership and how it relates to Genius Hour, how it relates to the classroom, and the difference between peer tutoring and thought partnership. Well, I am excited to share with you that this evening, my friend and thought partner, Carrie Espen, has agreed to be on the podcast. Let me just tell you, she does not enjoy doing things like this, but because she's such a great friend, she's agreed to be on the podcast and talk to you guys and talk to me a little bit about what thought partnership is and how she does it so well. So Carrie, thank you so much for being here.
Well, I just really appreciate the opportunity to not only be your thought partner and friend and colleague, but to be on the podcast as well. So yes, it is true. I'm a tad bit reluctant a little bit to do this, but I'm very excited and happy to support Andy and all the work that she is doing. So I am happy to be here.
Well, I am excited that you're here as well. Okay, so I thought we would just jump right in and get straight to the point. And let's just talk a little bit about what thought partnership is. If you're listening right now, I want you to know that when Carrie and I first started on this journey of kind of becoming thought partners and thinking through things together, I had never heard the phrase thought partnership. I didn't know what a thought partner was. And Carrie was just always the person that I would reflect with, or that before I did a speaking engagement or a podcast or whatever it was, I would talk to her and she would share her perspective and her ideas and ask me some hard questions. And as I got to know Carrie and she started using words like thought partner, I couldn't help but want to learn more about that. And it's just been recently that I've really started to think about how that idea can be utilized in the classroom. So Carrie, will you share with us a little bit about your perspective of what thought partnership actually is?
Absolutely. And I've always been the person that has loved to listen to people and try and help people. I've never really put a name to that. I think we typically tend to think of like counselors who do that. And I knew that really wasn't the direction that I was going to go, but I do love helping people and being able to connect with one another and hear people out. So for me, I just appreciate the opportunity to join in on the journey with someone and help them take any ideas they have to the next level, whether that's through reflection or asking questions. And if it's, whether it's on presenting, training, teaching, all those different opportunities that just create experiences for people. And sometimes you just need that outside perspective to look at what you've designed, that's willing to ask questions that you may not have thought of, or maybe pose new ideas to help maximize the impact that you're trying to make.
Gosh, I love that so much. And I think more than anything, I would say that what you do for me most often is just provide that different perspective. It's so easy to get, you know, so looped into your own way of thinking that it's hard to see outside of that. And that's one of my favorite things about the work that we do together is when you're able to say like, hey, Andy, have you thought about this from their perspective? Carrie talks about often user experience and really thinking through, even in the online courses that I create or anything for the website, she's always asking me those questions of, if you were the user, you know, would this work for you? And a lot of times she'll go through those things as a user, and it just She sees things and notices things that I would never notice because I'm thinking from my own perspective, and I'm so thankful for that. Okay, so when Carrie first, when we first started kind of thinking through this idea of thought partnership, and it really began to be a word that we were hearing other people say often, and then we were recognizing like, wait, I think that may be what we do is thought partnership. I Googled thought partnership and was just kind of looking up what the work that other people had done around the idea. And the first article that I found was actually from Forbes magazine. I'll actually link to that article in the show notes. You'll be able to find the show notes at andymcnair.com/episode77. And they describe thought partnership, or they describe the thought partner in doing three things. First of all, a thought partner challenges your thinking. They cause you to modify or change your paradigms, assumptions, or actions. And they also have information or a way of thinking that provokes you to innovate or otherwise leads you to value creation in your business, career, or life. And Carrie, I think that's also what you do is like you are a very, you explain it so well. Like when you explain the way that you think, will you explain that really quickly? How you kind of think big picture and then can funnel it down. Will you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I describe myself as a creative thinker. If you Google that, you can find some information on that that describes a lot of who I am. It kind of give you a glimpse into how my brain works. But some people might think of me as living in the clouds, always dreaming big and never bringing it down into reality. But the idea of being a creative thinker is you're generating ideas and you're bringing forth ideas that might connect to what might help someone else. And so, you know, Andy is very good at creating content. And then there's people out there that curate content. They go and they gather content and put it together to create a package. And for me, I'm all about connections. What connects this to that and can make it better and make a bigger impact? And so for me, I love working with people who like to create content because they have already mastered the content and they need to see a different perspective. Someone from the outside who's not a master in that content to be able to see a different angle and ask questions. And so maybe questions that's not even been asked. But when you ask those questions, it allows them to dig deeper into their own thought and maybe create new ideas that can help add value and bring extra impact into what they're trying to do.
Yeah, so true about that whole idea of really making those connections. I can't tell you how many times when we're in a thought partner session or we're kind of having that conversation and Carrie will say like, yeah, this connects to that. And I'm like, how do you even get there? But that's so beneficial to me because it gives me an opportunity to do what we were talking about earlier and to see the perspective of other people and to really think through how the work that I'm doing connects to the work that other people are doing and how we can align all of that to create a meaningful experience, either for learners or for educators or for whoever it is that we're going to be working with. So I think you talk a little bit about what you enjoy most about being a thought partner. And I will tell you that on the other side of the experience in working with you, I think one of the most meaningful parts of our thought partner sessions is that Carrie's really good at listening to understand. I can tell when she's listening to me that she hears me. She's not listening to respond, but she really is listening to understand. So I want to kind of talk through, or I want you guys to hear from Carrie, kind of how she prepares for a thought partner experience, what happens during a thought partner experience, and then kind of what happens after when we reflect and kind of go through that process. So Carrie, I think that's what we'll do next. But before we do that, I do want you guys to know that as we're doing this, I want you to be thinking about yourself and how as an educator, having a thought partner might be valuable to you. But I also want you to be thinking about thought partnership in your classroom, because as we kind of go through this conversation, at the end, we're going to be talking about just that, the role thought partnership can play in the classroom. So as Carrie kind of explains and walks us through this, be thinking about that as well. Okay, Carrie. So when I come to you and I say, hey, I either have a speaking engagement coming up or you and I are planning an experience that we're going to be providing for educators together, how do you prepare for that thought partner experience? How do you prepare for us to sit down and talk that through?
So important to remember that you have to get in the mindset and the mind frame of that it's not about you. So I think you've talked about in other articles or blogs about how, peer tutoring can seem like an expert with the learner, but with thought partnership, it really is about emphasizing that it's a partnership. It's a level playing field. It's about a relationship. And so, first of all, you have to get into that mindset first, is that it's not about you trying to figure out what am I trying to impart, like what knowledge am I trying to impart or wisdom impart on others, but what am I going to do to help add value to this person? I need to be able to see them for who they are, listen to what they have to say, try and get involved and immersed in their journey that they are in. So first of all, just getting in that mindset that it's not about me, it's going to be about that other person. And then to do that, you have to listen to understand instead of listen to respond. And the way I do that is I try and think of how can I continue this conversation? So like, for instance, when Andy's talking, I'm not immediately trying to think, well, this is what I would say next, or this is what I'm going to, idea I'm going to produce next to help her out. I'm going to actually try and rephrase what she's saying and add the meaning that I'm hearing from her to make sure that I'm on the same track with her thinking as she is. And if I am, that then it allows her to dive deeper into her thought process or explain more, or to kind of be like, no, that's really not the way I was thinking. And so the first thing you got to do is really get on that same page. So you need to, one, make sure you understand this is not about you. Two, listen to respond, not to respond, but listen to understand so that you can join in on the journey with them. So those are the two very most important things that you have to do. And then after that, there's just some strategies, some questions, some techniques that you can do to help either them solve a problem, gain a new idea, or just dive deeper into their own thoughts.
Oh my gosh. I'm thinking as you're talking about our learners, and is that not something, those two things that our learners need, right? How to really work with somebody and knowing it's not always about me. And also that skill of listening to understand. That's something that so many of our gifted learners need. And they don't just need to be told, hey, this is how you listen to understand. That requires practice, right? I know that Carrie is so much better at that than I am. I am oftentimes guilty of listening to respond. And Carrie is often really good at listening to understand. And I can always tell she's doing that. Carrie, you're going to love this. Because she doesn't respond right away. Like, I'm like, okay, what do you got? Like, give me an idea. And she's just quiet. And that's because she's taking time to really understand what I've said and process. And I think if we could give our learners the opportunity to experience that now and learn how to do it, my gosh, that would be such a skill that they would be able to use beyond the walls of the classroom. Carrie, I was going to tell you, I think we've talked about this a little bit before, but there's a website called causeit.org. Mm-hmm. And so every week I do a meetup in my community. And if you guys want to join the meetup this week, last week we talked about thought partnership, but you can go to the community and check it out. And I will add the link to the show notes. But this week we're going to be talking about curiosity. That being said, in last week's meetup, we were talking about thought partnership, and I shared this definition from causeit.org. Thought partnership is the practice of sharing ideas and experience with others to help them navigate complex challenges. But Carrie, I think this is the sentence that you're going to like. This sounds a lot like advice or mentorship, but the key difference is that thought partnership is always mutually beneficial. And you said something as you were talking that kind of alluded to that when you were talking about that idea of it's not just about me. And I think so often peer tutoring can turn into not a mutually beneficial experience, right? The person doing the tutoring isn't really benefiting from that if we aren't intentional. And so I think using a phrase like thought partnership makes so much more sense in the classroom than peer tutoring. So what do you think about that idea of thought partnership being mutually beneficial?
Absolutely, because it's like what you've said earlier, is it creates that level playing field where you're side by side. One person's not above the other person. One person's not below the other person. You're really coming together to join together, to connect and go along this journey together. You're both are going to grow. You both will learn. You both can benefit from that. And for me, especially like in a classroom, I am more of an introvert. I am not an extrovert. I know I have a I know I have a voice, but I never really felt like there were many places for my voice to be heard in the classroom. And so I think doing a thought partnership, it allows to have some one-on-one conversations where their voice isn't being heard in a large room. It's being heard by one person, and they might be more open to sharing their voice, especially if this becomes part of your classroom culture. And for me, it's about making connections. So people coming together, making connections, and then making something better in the process. So for me, I love when I'm able to be a part of something that's bigger than myself. And I think we all kind of have that natural desire as humans. And what a joy would it be to be able to bring that into the classroom as well.
Absolutely true. You and I talk often about the idea of collaboration, and we collaborate differently, but we both enjoy collaborating and feel like it's important. And I know you probably didn't go listen because you don't like it when I talk about you on podcasts, but last week I was talking about how even though Carrie and I lead differently, because on last week's episode 76, I talked about looking for leaders and really acknowledging the different types of leadership. And I was talking about how in education, Carrie is just as much of a leader as I am. It just looks different for her. And I think that's such an important thing that we have to teach our learners, that you don't have to become an extrovert to lead well. Oftentimes, Carrie is leading me and I am learning from her. It just looks different than when I'm leading her and she's learning from me. So, okay, so let's talk about, so that's how you kind of prepare for it and get into a mindset to kind of work through a thought partnership opportunity. When we're thought partnering, what are some things that actually happen? Like, let's say it is, we're working through, are there any other things that you would share that you do during a thought partner exercise that you think is important for our listeners to hear?
Yeah, absolutely. So like let's just take for instance us, before you go and do something or deliver a product or present, we might talk about what you've already designed. And so when you're doing that in the classroom, if people are working on a project and it's not completed or it's completed and it's before they present, you know, there's a couple of things that you can always do at the very beginning to figure out what they might be needing. And one is just tell me what you've designed. Tell me about what your goal is with this. What are you hoping people either learn, experience, or enjoy from whatever you have designed? And that question really can be used anywhere with teachers, with students. I'll say it again. What have you, or what are you hoping that the people who experience this, what they will love, what they will enjoy, what they will learn, or what they will experience from what you have designed. And then after that, then just say, you know, do you have an idea of where you want this to go? Where do you want this to end up? And so between those two things, that can really get the conversation going. And if you still need help with trying to figure out what direction they're wanting to go, like, where did this all begin? How did this come into being? Like, what really spurred you on into doing this? And you follow their directions, the direction that they're wanting to take this. And so you kind of have to figure out, are they just looking for validation? Like, yep, this is good. I can see how this could work. And they really don't need much help. They just needed another set of eyes on it. Or do they need someone to help them see it from a different perspective to make sure they've looked at it holistically? Or are they kind of stuck in a rut and they need some help getting some ideas so that they can complete the task? And so you kind of have to just gauge where they are in their journey and meet them where they're at and help them get to that next step.
I think that, like, thinking about the outcome, that's one of the things I really struggle with, and it's one of the things you help me most with, is when you're designing an experience or you're thinking through what something is going to look like. It's so easy to get wrapped up in, like, okay, this is what it's going to look like, and it's easy to forget about what do I want the outcome to be, right? What do I want them to experience? It's easy to get wrapped up in what we're going to be doing, which I think aligns a lot with that conversation we've had before, Carrie. That idea of it's not about how will I teach this? It's more about how will they learn this? And I think even as educators, that's why thought partnership is so important. PLCs, right? And PLCs, that should be a thought partnership opportunity for you to really say, I'm a big fan right now of the one sentence lesson plan. Again, I'll link to that. Norman Ing has a great article about that. So I'll link to that in the show notes. But that idea of really thinking through, I want them to learn this by doing this so that they can this. And I think you could just share your one sentence lesson plan with a colleague or with somebody and let them ask you those same questions that Carrie asks me. But I love what you said just now, Carrie, because it really focuses on, look, the experience is important and we want these things to happen. But more importantly, we want the outcome to be what we wanted it to be, right? We want to focus on that. And I think sometimes that can be really hard to do for those of us that kind of live in the moment. So I appreciate that so much about the work that you do. Okay, so we've talked about kind of how you prepare for a thought partnership experience. We've talked about what we do during a thought partnership experience. If you've ever seen me, I am after a learning experience or after an event or really anything that I do, I get on my phone fairly quickly. And that is because I typically call Carrie right after to reflect and talk through like, hey, here's what went well, here's what didn't go well. So Carrie, will you talk a little bit about that now of what do you do after the event or the experience? How do you kind of help people work through that reflection piece?
Absolutely start with highlighting the great points of it all. Celebrate with them. There was a lot of hard work put into whatever they did. So it's okay to join in that journey of celebrating with them of the hard work that they've done and the impact that they made. And grab all of that information because it's so important. It's not just what do we need to change, but it's what else so do we need to keep doing? So, and that's something that you can pick up on as well when you're working with someone is what are the things that they tend to consistently mention time after time that went well? That will help you see some patterns and some routines that need to stick and need to stay the same. But then if you start to see that they keep saying the same things over and over again, maybe that's when you need to start digging in and asking why. Why did that go well? Like we all want to celebrate. Yes, everything went great. People were smiling. People wanted the number. They wanted the resources. But what was it specifically that hooked them in? Why did they buy in and want to take ownership in that and potentially take that back to whatever they were doing? Or why did they get immersed in the presentation that you were giving and wanted to learn more about the topic, you know, that you were presenting? And so sometimes asking that why question after it went well can just kind of stop people in their tracks and go, well, I really don't want to ask why because it just went well and I just want to celebrate and live in that moment. And you do want to honor that. Let them live in the moment, but we do have to figure out why it went well because we want it to go well each and every time.
That piece is really difficult for me. I'm like, okay, she's talking about me right now because so often I get in that moment of, I just want to be excited, right? I just want to know that, hey, I made some connections. There is nothing more powerful to me than when I feel connected to educators or I feel connected to learners and I feel like the work that I did made a difference. And some days that's the case. And to be honest, some days it's like, I'm not sure if today did make a difference or not. But the reality is when you ask me those questions of like, well, why, or let's dig a little deeper, it does exactly what you just said. It gives me kind of that intentional opportunity to think through and make those connections so that next time that comes back to mind. And that's another thing you're really good at saying is like, well, remember, Carrie will remember something from an experience that I have completely forgotten. And she'll be like, remember 2 years ago when you did? I'm like, no, I do not remember that. But I'm just so thankful for that, partly because, you know, I think even for us as educators, we all have those days, right? I know that I did in the classroom where I would just go home and be like, oh my gosh, today was just a bleh day. And I still have those days. I think we all do. But I think having a thought partner as an educator would have been so helpful because I would have had somebody say, well, hey, let's refocus and let's focus on what went well. And then let's really get to why those things went well and also talk about why the other things didn't go well. So I think that's really important for educators to have thought partners as well because of what you just shared. Okay, so we've talked kind of through the entire thought partnership experience. Carrie, is there anything that you would add to just the experience itself before we kind of talk about how to connect it to the classroom?
No, I think we covered pretty much everything.
Okay, perfect. Carrie's like, no, wow, we're good. Okay, she's typically like, I have all the words. Carrie's like, when I'm done. So, okay, so let's talk through this idea of thought partnership in the classroom. And we kind of mentioned this at the beginning and we've talked about it throughout. But I, of course, connect thought partnership with Genius Hour. I actually did some episodes and unfortunately, I forgot to go back and look at what episode it was. But I've talked about thought partnership here before. I'll link those episodes in the show notes. But that being said, let's specifically talk about the idea of thought partnership versus peer tutoring. And Carrie, I want to share something that was said in the meetup and just get your thoughts about it. So we were talking about this idea of peer tutoring versus thought partnership and how peer tutoring can oftentimes add this layer of being a burden. And we talked about it from the perspective of if you are the peer tutor, oftentimes you feel burdened. If you are the one being tutored by your peer, you can feel like you are a burden. So, what role do you think thought partnership can play in taking that burden off of both learners so that that isn't the case?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That burnout is definitely something that we don't necessarily need in the classroom. We need to give them some autonomy and opportunities to have a safe space just to think and to connect with one another and create ideas. And that's what thought partnership does. It's not about getting the right or wrong answers. It's not about helping someone finish a worksheet so they can get it turned in and say that we're done. It's not about completing a task and checking something off the list. It really is about idea generation, reflection, brainstorming, and ultimately making an impact. And that's what I love about thought partnership. It really gives an opportunity for students to make connections and memories, which then in turns can turn into internal motivation or intrinsic motivation into the learning process, which then elevates the learning for the students, knowing that they have a voice, it's being heard, and it's being valued. And in return, they have someone that is also doing the same for them.
Preach. So true. So I also think, we talked about even, I think I maybe posted something on Instagram or I don't remember where I was having this conversation this week. We talked about thought partnership a lot, but we were also considering the different skills that learners need. And when we think about that idea of thought partnership being mutually beneficial, I think that is the goal, right? That both parties are practicing skills that they're going to need beyond the walls of the classroom. And thought partnership allows them the opportunity to do that. It's not just them sitting there saying, like you said, like just we're just trying to complete the worksheet. And honestly, when you think about it, like if you think you're having a gifted learner, the learner who understands it the most, tutor the learner who understands it the least, that's a pretty big gap. And I think so often that can lead to frustration and it can lead to those feelings of burden. And so when we think about some skills that learners need in order to become thought partners, what are some skills that you think are important or that you would prioritize helping your learners gain as they make that thought par words, thought partnership a priority in the classroom?
Yeah, I've not, been able to create a 10 skills list for thought partnership, but there are a couple strategies that I think can be very beneficial when thought partnering. So once you get into that mindset or that mind frame that it's not about me, it's about we, in essence, like we're going on this journey together. I'm coming alongside you and we're going to work together. It's not just about me asking questions and you answering. It's about us having a conversation and collaborating, and we bringing our own ideas together. A couple strategies that come to mind that can help, basically, in essence, give them a starting point on how to do thought partnership in the classroom. And one strategy is tag, and we can, Andy, I can send you the link to that article that talks about this feedback strategy called tag, T. A, G. So T, tell something that you like. A, ask a question to help clarify so you understand what either the product is and what the person is saying. And then G, give feedback or like give a suggestion or give an idea for them. So in essence, that kind of just wraps up what thought partnership can be. Like you're validating them, you're seeing their hard work, you're recognizing it, then you're seeking meaning, you're making sure that you're truly understanding what they're saying. And then that last part of, I see what you've done. Have you also seen it from this perspective? So that's really one of the first strategies that I would probably use in the classroom when considering doing thought partnership, which is basically just like peer feedback in essence. But it has that element at the very end of, let me also tell you what I see from my own perspective. And so that's really where I would start with that. And then when you want to dive deeper and it becomes the maybe part of thought partnership becomes part of the idea generation where you're brainstorming products or projects in the classroom and students are needing ideas and they want to work with a partner, then Andy, you taught me about Scamper. I think Scamper would be perfect and they can use that in the classroom. Like, with what can we substitute, combine, adapt, modify, put to use, eliminate, or reverse, or rearrange. And just asking those questions or seeing that product or project from those different perspectives can then help create new ideas and then take their projects or products to the next level.
I love that you just modeled like exactly what we do in thought partnership. Like she took something that she's heard me talk about, right? Something like Scamper, and she was able to make this. I've never thought about Scamper and thought partnership going together, and so that was very cool, Carrie Espen. And I think that was a perfect example, you guys, of seeing exactly what that looks like to take. And I love both of those ideas. The tag strategy and the scamper strategy can be really meaningful and can give your learners kind of a framework so that they don't just feel like they're sitting there staring at each other, like, what do we say? What do we do? Which can oftentimes be the case. Some of the skills that I know Carrie thinks are important, we have kind of talked about these before, but active listening, and I think she talked, I think Carrie, I think you talked a little bit about this when you were saying listening to understand versus listening to respond. And I think active listening, one of the things that I notice about Carrie when she's listening is that she's either taking notes or she's using nonverbal cues to let me know that she's listening. There's always, it's always very clear that when we are in a thought partnership experience, what I'm saying and what she's hearing, like that's the priority in that moment in time for her. And I think that's really valuable. I don't think that's a skill that even a lot of adults have, honestly. So I think we could all get better at. What role do you think empathy plays? We're getting ready to kind of wrap up, but as we talk through some of these skills, what role do you think empathy plays in thought partnership?
I think empathy is really the foundational piece of all of this. It's not something that you necessarily say to your students, like, okay, now we're going to practice empathy by doing thought partnership. It's really a skill that they're going to start to learn as they practice thought partnership. They don't need to necessarily feel what the other person is feeling, but they do need to try and understand what they are feeling or what they are trying to say. And when you do that, you're validating that other person. You're showing them empathy, like, I understand you, I hear you. And then when you're able to re-describe with active listening what they're saying and how they're feeling, you're making that connection with them. And so really, if you want to look at it, empathy is really that foundational skill that really makes thought partnership work really well.
Okay, and so the last skill that I want to discuss is just flexibility. And I know that that's really important. And when I say flexibility, I'm talking about that kind of adaptability to respond to like evolving needs. Like sometimes I would imagine that the other people that you work with, as far as thought partnership goes, I know I never do this. But that whole idea of like sometimes their needs are constantly evolving and they always need something different. And I'm totally kidding. Carrie would be like, she does that every single time. But I think one of the things that you're really good at is being able to be flexible enough to say, you know, hey, Andy, this is how we do this. This is how we do it every time. And so we're going to stick with that. You're really good at knowing, like, in the moment, okay, this we're gonna have to be flexible because this is not an excited call. This is a, oh my gosh, I feel like something went wrong call, or this is an excited call. And I think that flexibility is really important as well. And learners being able to see things from a variety of perspectives, right? Multiple perspectives, if we want to talk about depth and complexity icons. But as far as flexibility goes, how do you use that skill to be a good thought partner?
Yeah, especially when you feel like this conversation isn't going where it needs to go. Maybe you guys have gotten off track. And so sometimes you, as the thought partner, need to say, okay, I kind of feel like I need to know the direction that we're going right now. I thought you were maybe needing some ideas, but maybe you kind of feel like you have an idea and we need to flesh that out, or maybe even asking the question. So at this point, are you needing support? Are you needing me just to hear you out and see if I have any questions? Though it's okay to ask, what do you need from me in this thought partnership conversation? Because a lot of times they know initially what they need from you. And then you guys can start there. And then as the conversation progresses, you can start to morph into other things. And then you can re-ask clarifying, you know, we've already come up with a solution. It seems like you're feeling good about that. Is this the direction you want to go, or do you want some new ideas? And so asking those clarification questions not only can clarify what's happening in the conversation, but it shows the person that you're listening to that you're still involved, you still care, and it is about the journey with them and not just about you trying to solve problems or give advice.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the times that we have had, you know, even outside of thought partnership, just friend conversations when Carrie will call, and she's so good at being like, Andy, because she knows we're going to find a solution. If you're going to call and tell me a problem you have, I'm going to come up with a framework or a solution or something. Like, here are three things you can do that start with the letter P. it's how my brain works. But Carrie's so good at saying, like, look, right now I need you to listen. I don't need you to respond. I'm not asking you for a solution. Sometimes I still feel like I need to give one, but she's really good at, like, hey, I just need you to listen. And I think that's because of her ability to be flexible when she is listening to someone else. And I think that's so powerful. And it's one of the things I appreciate most about your friendship, Carrie, and the role that you have as my thought partner, is that flexibility and that ability to kind of, okay, here's what we're doing. Like, let's get back on task, which is very cool. Okay. So thinking about thought partnership in the classroom, really, I want to ask you guys as educators to consider, especially with gifted learners, not asking them to be peer tutors, but asking them to be thought partners. So much of what Carrie has shared on this episode, I think, is really valuable, and they're practical things that you could take and implement tomorrow. I also think that, you know, when we connect this to Genius Hour, because I'm always going to, I think having your learners connect with a thought partner. Okay, that's one more question, Carrie, and then I promise we will be done. One question I was thinking of, because thinking about this with Genius Hour, I think you could have a thought partner for each part of the process. So they're going to thought partner during passion, plan, pitch, project, product, presentation. And if you have the Genius Hour learning guides for your students to work through, if you don't, you can check those out over on my website. I'll put the link in the show notes. It's just andymcnair.com/GH resources. But there, within those learning guides, there is a page for them to work with a thought partner in each part of the process. So as far as choosing who thought partners are, Carrie, do you think it's best for the learners to have a thought partner that thinks like them, or a thought partner that thinks differently than them? Like, how do teachers know how to partner them up, I guess I would say?
Yeah. Honestly, I think both. I think it's important for you to be able to thought partner with someone who's like-minded with you, who maybe has the same beliefs or same ideas as you, because that will allow you the opportunity to voice what you have, go into great deep detail with it, add some depth to your thought so it can deepen your understanding, deepen your thought process about what you're creating or what you're, you know, going to present. When you need that outside perspective, when you need fresh new ideas, you need someone different than you. I think John Maxwell said that great leaders surround themselves with people who are different from them. And that is also so important because you do need those different perspectives. And that's what a thought partner does. They challenge your thinking. So if you're surrounded by people who will just say, yes, you're doing great. I love this. You know, maybe here's a few suggestions here or there. Are you truly going to be challenged in your thought processes or in creating something new or adding some new depth into what you're doing? So honestly, I think it's both. And I think when you start to introduce this into the classroom, do it in a way where it is comfortable for the students. They get to pick their partner and they get to experience this process with someone that they may already know, that they kind of already know how they think, or they already have a connection with. And I think that's totally fine. And you should do maybe some thought partner exercises outside of maybe even the Genius Hour process. So they get familiar. It becomes just part of your classroom culture. So that way it's not just, okay, just for this one time, we're now going to get a thought partner who thinks different than us. And it really needs to be a part of the culture, and you need to prioritize when does it need to be with someone who's maybe thinks like you, and maybe when it someone you need someone who doesn't think like you. And so when you explain that to your students, help them to understand what that could look like. And it may be something where during whatever process of the Genius Hour they're in, they just need to decide, do I need someone who thinks like me, or do I need someone who doesn't think like me? And give them those options to choose which one do they need.
Oh, that's so good. I love that idea of this, of the learners being able to think through, like, for this particular, you know, whatever it is that I'm trying to accomplish here, do I need someone that thinks like me, or do I need someone that thinks a little bit differently? It's so good. Okay. So all of that being said, Carrie, I appreciate you doing this so much. I know it was a little bit outside of your comfort zone, but I am so thankful that the Meaningful Mess community had the opportunity to learn from you on this episode. And I want to tell you guys how you can connect with Carrie, because one of the things that Carrie does best is that she adds value to the things that you're doing in the classroom. She adds value to the things that you're doing on your campus or your district. And we oftentimes work together. So we do some very cool learning experiences that I don't typically do by myself, but we do them together because they are so different than your typical PD. And so if you want to know more about that, you can definitely reach out and connect with me on my website. But if you need someone to work with you as a thought partner, in other words, you need someone to do the things that Carrie has talked about on this episode, I want you to know exactly how to connect with her, because I would not recommend anyone else as far as thought partnership goes. She's just so good at it. And I am so thankful for the opportunity to thought partner with her in the times that I'm able to do that. So Carrie, will you tell everyone how they can reach out to you if they are looking for a thought partner or they're wanting to add value to the work that they're doing?
Well, it's been such an honor and a privilege to be a part of your podcast, Andy. I really appreciate it so much. I've enjoyed this conversation. As always, I enjoy all of our conversations. So would love to extend the outreach into each and every one of you if you would like someone to thought partner with. I'm okay with the big, crazy ideas. I love to hear them and figure out how can we make this happen in a realistic way. So you can reach out to me on email, carrieannespin@gmail.com, and we'll put that in the show notes. And please send me an email, and I would love to connect with you.
Look at you. You're like a professional podcaster. You were like, we'll put that in the show notes. So much. Hey, I really do appreciate this so much. And you guys, seriously, I will put our contact information in the notes so that you can reach out to her. And if you can't find it or you aren't sure how to connect with her, you can always ask me as well, because we see each other every day at work. And if we're not talking at work, we're talking on the phone. So I am just so thankful for the work, for sure. So thanks again. And thank you guys for listening to this episode. I look forward to talking to you again soon. If you need anything, let me know. I hope this episode has helped you find a little meaning in your mess. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of A Meaningful Mess. I hope you found inspiration and valuable insights for engaging and empowering gifted learners. If you'd like to connect with me and explore more resources, please visit my website at andymcnair.com. You can also follow me on Instagram at @a_meaningful_mess for regular updates, discussions, and a vibrant community of educators dedicated to making a difference. Your support means the world to me, and I appreciate you being a part of this journey. If you have any questions, feedback, or topics you'd like for me to explore in future episodes, don't hesitate to reach out. Remember, you have the power to create meaningful and impactful learning experiences for your gifted students. Keep up the fantastic work, and thank you for joining me on A Meaningful Mess. Until next time, keep finding meaning in your mess. Happy teaching and learning. I'll talk to you soon.